This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Kenna. The stunning size and scope of women across the country who turned out to say, we won't go back. The historic Women's March in Washington. Now, welcome to our first day. We won't go away. Marches in Washington chanted. Oh, so many more than 500,000 strong. Women, many wearing pink caps shaped like pussy ears, lampooning Trump's misogynist assaults on women, came to what they proclaimed to be the epicenter, Washington, D.C., to express their repudiation of Trump, his administration, and the Republican Party's corrosive rhetoric and retrogressive policies.
The Washington rally was easily one of the biggest demonstrations in that city's history, and mirrored the outpouring of more than a million women. It was, I think, 3 million people who turned out everywhere from New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles, to Mexico City, Paris, Berlin, London, Prague, and Sydney.
A historic day. We'll hear some outstanding interviews from who? We the sisters, we the peoples. Here we are with this incredible, chaotic, wonderful cacophony of voices and women, and I maintain that there certainly are easily a million people here. And what do you know? All of a sudden, I came across four people who have signs saying they are Montanan women. So I want to find out what brings people all the way to Washington, D.C. from Montana. So why don't you tell us who you are and what brings you here?
I'm Nancy Winslow. I came from Missoula, Montana. What brought me here is I'm really concerned we've got someone at the White House who's not stable and that might start nuclear war. We can live through the corruption, the different things that are happening with reproductive rights, which I think are all really big concern. But what really has me scared that he's going to start a nuclear war, because he is so easily provoked. We can provoke him with a tweet. That's why I came from Montana, because I'm really scared.
Who are you, and how did she convince you to come down here also, or did you convince her?
I'm her niece. I'm Camille Winslow. I'm from Seattle originally, but my mom is from Montana. We all kind of decided to go together. We all wanted to go. We decided that we wanted to go big. We thought this was a big movement. This is really feels like the start of something, and we really wanted to be in the heart of it. There are marches in Seattle and in other cities around the world, but we really wanted to be where the action was happening in Washington, D.C.
Your friends, do they feel similar to you? You are the youngest looking one of this crew here. Your generation, do you think that they share your concerns?
I have a lot of friends who are marching in their own towns right now, in Seattle and also in the town where I go to school in Bellingham, Washington. Some of them just couldn't afford to come out here to Washington, D.C. and march, but they all feel the same way, and they all are protesting in their own way in their own cities.
Okay, so we also got, and I think you're actually her mom, and I see you have a sign that says Mothers and Daughters for Choice, My Body, My Choice. As you listen to your daughter speak, what are some of your thoughts? Is it a little bit of, oh my God, we have to do this again, or?
Yes, it is. It's, oh my God, we have to do this again. I campaigned very heavily for the pro-abortion, pro-choice campaign in Washington State before Roe v. Wade. Yeah, I've been around a few years. And so it does feel a little bit sad that we're doing the same things. What feels great is the turnout today. There are so many more women aware of it, more aware of their need to protect their reproductive rights, and I found that thrilling. And I was thrilled that my daughter designed these great signs.
Well, we have some really artistic skill here. And we have a fourth member of the crew, another gorgeous sign, Equality Now, We Deserve Fundamental Rights. Your relationship to the other three sisters here?
Yes, I'm number three. We actually are a family of seven girls. So we were lucky three of us got to come here. All of us feel pretty much the same way about our president, as hard as that is to say, he is our president now. And I decided to come. Camille, my niece, really energized her mom and I to, it's like, yes, let's do this. We need to go. I just had a very positive reaction to that. because I was so depressed after the election to think that our voices, really the majority of the country, were not heard, felt powerless until I heard about the march, and it gave me a new mission and a new way to for my voice to be heard.
So you're here in this incredible sea of pink, and for anybody who doesn't get it, there are pink pussy hats by the tens of thousands. Your thoughts about what's unfolding before us today, which, as I said, is absolutely chaotic and wonderful, because clearly there's so many people here, there can't even be some semblance of order.
As we predicted, that there would be a much bigger turnout than expected, but it even exceeded those expectations. There's such a great sense of solidarity among us. Yesterday I ran across some gals with the pink hats, and I'd just been through all these Trump supporters who are here for the inauguration feeling, and then the gals in the pink hats, I go, oh, sisters, and we all just gathered and hugged. We were from all parts of the country, but it just gave, it's such a great sense of solidarity with the men that are here, the women that are here, the young women, the women who brought their children, male children as well, to really get the sense of the power that can happen when we all gather together.
Well, thank you, and good luck with all of us. What happens when we go back home to Montana's, to Brooklyn, to our various areas, and power to the sisters. Thank you. What brought you all the way to Washington, D.C.?
Oh, protect Mother Earth.
Where'd you come from?
We come from the Iroquois Confederacy, the Haudenosaunee people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how far did you travel today?
We traveled from upstate New York and into Canada.
So tell me a little bit more about the message that you would like to see here today.
We have time to help our planet, and we have the brightest, beautiful people in the world to do it. Let's shed a light on the science of climate change and take a look at what's real and what's not, and make our new leadership accountable for every action. And if they're illegal, they need to be penalized and made accountable for that, too.
And you are?
I'm Jill Claus.
Thank you for talking to us. Excuse me, do you mind if I ask what brought you here today?
My name is Victoria Humphreys. I'm from Gila River Indian Community in Sacaton, Arizona. I live in the district now, and we see everything unfolding firsthand. What's happening when our indigenous people come out here and they're working on trying to pass policy or try to get some law pushed through just so that we can be able to have clean drinking water, and we keep getting denied it? That's a problem. So that's why we're here today, for our people, for our land, for our women, to protect them, to protect Mother Earth.
And do you feel the kind of jubilation that most folks seem to feel?
Now that we're moving, absolutely.
In other words, a little too much speechifying and not enough marching. But thank you all for coming to Washington. Do you mind if I can grab the three of you for a moment? Your signs. We are all immigrants. Who are you? What brought you here? And your particular sentiment around the participation of immigrants in this march today.
I'm from Bethesda, from Maryland, right here. And I believe that everyone except the Native Americans have come here to make this country better. That's what makes our country great. We should not close the doors to anyone. We should all welcome them.
This is your home turf, in a manner of speaking. Is that sentiment general to the community that you're residing in?
We're very much for human rights in our area. We welcome immigrants. We have a very international community, and we're stronger for it.
And what is your general sentiment, any of you, actually, about what you're seeing unfolding today?
Hopefully day one of an uprising that may take 4 years.
And
one day is enough of the presidency.
What about the outpouring of people, which is quite extraordinary?
This is amazing. I've never seen anything like this, any inauguration, anything like this. This is really the majority of the people speaking today.
And who am I speaking with?
I'm Sonali Roy from Bethesda, Maryland.
Rahana Farrell from Princeton, New Jersey.
And you are?
I'm Ron and Roy from Maryland.
From Maryland. Okay, so it was a good day?
It was a good day.
Great. Good day. Thank you all. So I wonder if I can grab you two for 2 minutes to just tell me why you're here. I'm particularly keep building walls, we'll keep building bridges. And you have a sign that says Trump is the symptom, white supremacy is the sickness. Maybe you can just tell our radio station why you're here. And
I'm just here to protest Trump and to protest racism and sexism and all of the horrible things that are happening in the country. And it's not just Trump, but it's like a system that has been going on for so long that people are finally waking up to. And I'm just...
And where are you from?
From Plattsburgh, New York.
And what about yourself?
I'm from Albany, and I came with my sister for the same reasons. And we're taking a stand, and we're showing the new administration that we're going to fight back.
I think it's really amazing, and all the speakers were great, and it was just really special to be here.
And you are?
Johanna Katura.
Welcome to Washington. Now, wait a minute. There's a whole group of folks from Canada, and you came here for...
The march?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And how would I know the beautiful red and white scarves? Tell me why there are hundreds. Tell me why you're here.
Sure. Because we're neighbors. We've always been good neighbors. And this election has as much potential for hardship to you as it does for us in Canada, given free trade and the amount of our economy. Plus, we think that he's just a horrible man. Plus. Yes.
What about yourself?
I agree with that and what he said about women, and it's important to be here and show our support.
And it's a global problem. So globally, everyone has to stand up, take a stand.
What do you think about this outpouring of...
Phenomenal.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
We have to make sure that doesn't creep up into our country. Really.
Not the outpouring.
Not the outpouring, but that... So for us, it was come here to feel it surround us. We want to take that energy back into our country and make sure it doesn't happen.
How do people really continue the momentum that is
expressed? We have to keep talking about this, and we have to challenge people. We shouldn't be afraid to stand up. And I want to try and get people to make sure that they vote in Canada.
That's the big thing.
To vote. What happened here is a lot of people didn't vote. So we're going to vote.
So look at it. You're getting all kinds of great enthusiasm. So you are?
My name is Joanne, and I come from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. We all work for the city of Hamilton.
Fantastic. And you are?
Judy.
Grace.
Marge.
Ellen.
Lynn.
Delighted to meet up with you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Enjoy.
Thanks. So since you're chanting, this is what democracy looks like, what does it mean?
So it means that it's open for everybody. Everybody has a voice that is represented by their government, not just the rich and powerful.
And what do you think the march today of all these incredible sisters, and not a small number of brothers either,
right?
What do you think that means towards a contribution to a democratic state?
I think that it is empowering people when they see this many different voices come forward. It makes them realize they too can have a voice. And so hopefully we'll all rise up and react and get involved.
Where did you come from?
I came from Wellington, Colorado, just about an hour north of Denver.
And you are?
My name is Sarah Ahola.
Are you heartened by what you see here today?
I am, very much so.
Good, thank you. Can I grab you for a couple of minutes for our radio station? Where are you all from?
New York.
New York, go figure. So what do you think about what happened here today?
I thought it was so exciting to be here.
Why?
Why? Because we're fighting for people's rights. We want to be a part of a movement.
Is this your first large demonstration?
Yes.
What made it imperative for you to come to Washington?
The election and an inauguration of Donald Trump as a president of the United
States. So what happens when you go back to New York?
Keep fighting.
Keep going, yeah.
You gotta call your local elected officials. You got to vote during midterm elections. You got to get involved in city and state politics.
Do your friends back in New York feel the same way?
Well, I try to make them feel the same way.
I'll bet you do.
I'm from Staten Island, so it's majority Trumpers.
So you got a lot of work to do. And you are?
My name's Nicole.
And who are you?
Mari. Julia.
All right. So where are you all from?
We're from this area.
Now I will tell you, many, many times I've gone to marches in D.C. and I haven't seen that many Washingtonians come on out. So what drove you out today? Why don't we start with you?
Just equal rights for all. That's what drove me out here. Medicare, immigrants, education, especially education. That's what brought me out here.
What about, you mean Betsy DeVos isn't exactly what you're after?
No, not at all. She has no educational experience. She doesn't know anything about public schools. I'm in the public schools. She knows nothing.
Are you a teacher?
Yes.
What grade level?
9 through 12.
What is it that Betsy DeVos really doesn't know about what you know about what is necessary to educate our youth?
I think that people need to know that we don't have as much money to work with as they think they do, that education is being nickel and dime to death, and I really don't think it's being evenly distributed through all neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher, retired this past year. I'm here for a number of reasons. This presidency has just brought out so much stuff that has been there, I guess, just come to the front. And I'm glad to see people are starting to address the needs of all the people, women, people from the LGBT community, the workers, everybody. And this is awesome.
So what do you think we do tomorrow? Is there, in your neighborhoods, specific organizations that you relate to that are going to continue to do the organizing to what? Unseat Trump? Make sure he's impeached in the next 6 months? Or
I think we start writing. We start writing our congressmen. We start writing our senators. And we keep writing. And we keep letting them know we're out here and that they work for us.
And people need to remember Congress works for us.
What about your students? What do they feel about these things?
Well, I retired, so
they're scared. I mean, a lot of the children who are immigrants are scared that their families are going to be broken up and sent away. And you try to abate their fears so that they're not so scared. But I don't even know what to say to them because I don't know what he's going to do.
Are you excited by what's unfolding in front of you, this endless array of women passing by?
Extremely impressed with this peaceful, enthusiastic, and ever-flowing demonstration.
Ever-flowing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Because you look down there, you can still see the people walking. I mean, we came that way. The whole street is covered with people. It's amazing.
This is what democracy looks like?
This is what democracy looks like. That's right.
And you are?
My name is Britton.
And you're a Washingtonian?
Maryland.
Maryland. And yourself?
My name is Kathleen Mann.
And also from D.C. Hey, what about the issue of no representation, but plenty of taxation?
That's an ongoing thing. I tell people to write to anybody else, a senator, that you can write to, because it's kind of unfair that Congress uses this D.C. as its backyard. That's what I call it.
Without the right to vote. There's a lot of people who don't even know that.
Yeah, we have to pay taxes, but we do not have representation in Congress at all.
Shocking, isn't it?
It is. And you're right. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Great talking to you. Well, somebody just walked by and announced that there are 1.3 million people that are projected to have been marching today. And as somebody who's in the midst of this, I can testify to that as well. You have one of the more impactful signs here, Truth Matters, the World. Tell us about your sign and your message today.
Well, I was trying to make it succinct, and it does feel to me like
we only have one planet, and the policies that Donald Trump wants to put in place are going backward on so many incredibly important issues. We don't have the time. I take the long view generally, but we don't have the time for bad policies on the environment right now.
And where did you come from to join this march?
I came from California.
Wait a minute. You got all kinds of marches going on in California. What drove you to Washington?
This is the epicenter of the resistance right now, and we wanted to be here, and I brought my daughter, and a bunch of us came from California.
That's fantastic. So is this your first mass demonstration?
Kind of.
She was a toddler, less than two, when we marched against the war in Iraq.
Yes, she lifted her eyebrows and said, and I vaguely remember that.
She had a sign around her neck that said, no kicking, no biting, no war, no fighting.
What do you think about this incredible display of unity, of passion, of righteousness that's parading before us today?
I think it's really important for people to see that they're not alone in the fight against the hatred that is caused by Donald Trump's messages. It's really important for people to be able to visualize that and to be able to see that people are united against the hatred that is put out from so many people against things that are uncontrollable for them, like their gender, their race, or their sexuality.
Do your friends carry the same kind of sentiment that you're expressing here today?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are here from California.
As somebody who is in the younger generation here, I mean, what do you think this presidency might portend for this country that concerns you?
I'm just worried that there's going to be a lot of things that Donald Trump does in his presidency that are going to be really hard to turn around when it gets passed on to the next president, and hopefully and things will be able to get better. But right now, there's just a lot of darkness and bad things that are just generally being put over everyone.
And what about when you folks go back to California? How to keep this momentum alive? How do we continue to do organizing?
That's a really good question. And I think for us, what we're doing and what we did, like for Christmas, we said, we're not doing gifts this year. We're donating to important causes so that there's more money in the coffers of people like the NRDC or Planned Parenthood or the ACLU or places where they're trying to fight the good fight. And it's going to take a lot of, I think, legal counsel to slow some of the worst changes, at least slow it down in the courts.
So it's an appropriate sign. Truth matters, and there's the whole world depicted on this beautiful sign. And whom have I been speaking to?
I'm Ava Boas.
Claire Ferrari.
All the way from California. Thanks for coming to Washington. Excuse me, I couldn't help but respond to both of your signs, actually. Well, you button Black Lives Matter, and then I will not go quietly back to the 1950s. So tell us what you mean by that. What did the 1950s represent that you think Trump holds as a kind of sword of Damocles over the participants of this march and all women?
I was born in the 40s, so for me the 50s were a period when I grew up, and my mother was a housewife, and women were, you know, the family unit was just in a different place. We did not have a lot of rights that have been afforded to us since then. And then I lived through the era of, you know, going to college in the early 60s and going back to work during the time of the big women's liberation movement, and forming my own career and still maintaining a family and a happy marriage. And I think the strength that women have had to demonstrate since the 40s in particular to get to the point that we are able to live our lives today and tell our young daughters and granddaughters what's available for them. Mm-hmm. I think all of that's threatened because Trump sees women, I don't care how much he says he loves women, he sees women strictly from a misogynistic perspective. I don't believe he understands a family unit that is a typical American family unit. And I think that he is someone who wouldn't hesitate to roll back
all of the things that are important to me, certainly, and to my daughters and to my grandson, who has grown up in a world where he's seen strong women.
I am here with four sisters who are dressed as suffragettes. And I kind of heard you saying a moment ago you planned this for how long and with who are these other women with you?
I'm here with my mother and my two aunts. And my aunts have been planning this for months. As soon as we heard the election results, we decided to come march. We met in the city a few days ago, and they told us about their costumes, and they had extras. So
thank you so much.
We decided to join in.
And what's the message of suffragettes?
Equality, trying to get votes, equal rights for women, equal rights for not just women, but men, trans, LGBTQ community, trying to show our new president that he does not speak for us, and we the people, we have the power, and we're not going to stand for everything he's been spewing out into the world.
So you must be enormously proud to hear your daughter say these things.
I am enormously proud of my daughter. I am enormously proud of both my kids. They're both kind, and they respect all kinds of people, everybody, and that is something that was sorely lacking from the president-elect and now the president.
And there's a historic context. I mean,
yes.
It's suffragettes. So what is the history of suffragettes, and you're choosing this outfit, say, really as a critique of president inaugurated now, Donald Trump?
During not just the election, but for his adult life, he's been recorded saying such terrible things that were disrespectful to women. And that's unbearable and intolerable. I mean, women are half the population of this country. Women's rights are human rights. But the suffragettes, they did so much to help not only women, but all Americans to have better lives. That's something. We enjoy the privileges and the rights that we have because of them. And they bled and they died and they suffered and they had a very, very hard time. And people need to remember the sacrifices of people who come before, of all kinds of people who come before and put their lives on the line and made a difference. That now more than ever is important, because the ultimate lesson is that you have to be involved, and that it's not somebody else's job to make this work. It's each of our jobs to get up and get involved and become part of the movement as needed, but also part of government if needed, and to be citizens. Citizenship is not a spectator sport.
What area are you from? Chicago. Would you say that there are a number of other young people like yourself who feel similar to the sentiment you're expressing here today in your area?
Everyone I know, all of my friends, we came here to Washington, but I have friends who march in Chicago today. I have friends who are marching all around the country, and I have friends in China who are marching. And
China?
I studied Chinese and East Asian studies in college. Everyone I know, we're all outraged, and we're not going to stand for this, and we're not going to let them take our country in dark ages.
Was this a good day?
It was a good day.
For you too?
It was a great day.
It was a great day. And you are?
I'm Katie Arum.
And I'm Andrea Beatty.
It's good to have seen you here, and it's good to listen to and hear the sentiments. It's both a learning experience and helps build solidarity. Thank you both.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.